Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Yud Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Tes Zayin, Amud Beis, at the last line. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Shloishi Timam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam Hazeh, there were three individuals who already in this world had Me'ein Olam Haba, had already a taste of the Olam Haba. Ve'elahin, who are those three individuals? Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yakov. Ask Taisus that we learned earlier that Eiv was an individual who had the Me'ein Olam Haba in this world. So why doesn't our Gemara include Eiv in the list? So Taisus answers that Eiv did not really have a complete taste of Olam Haba in this world. All Eiv had was, as we learned in the Gemara, that Eiv on Daf Tes Vav of Mabez, that in this world Eiv planted, and immediately after he planted, it started to grow. That is only one characteristic of Olam Haba. But to have all of what Olam Haba represents, Eiv did not have in this world. Another teretz that the Maral gives is, as we explained when we learned that Gemara, Eiv had Olam Haba in this world, but doesn't have the real Olam Haba in the next world. He got his reward in this world. However, when our Gemara now discusses Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, not only did they have Olam Haba in this world, certainly they also will have Olam Haba in the next world. How do we know that they had this? Avram the Ksibe Bakol, Yitzchak the Ksibe Mikol, and the Yaakov the Ksibe Kol. Continues the Raisa. Shloisha Lashola ben Yetzahara. There were three individuals who the Yetzahara had no power over them. Elohein Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. And again, the Mefarshim ask, Taisvis and the other Rishonim ask, how can we say that there was no Yetzahara with these individuals? That is contrary to the basic principle of what being a person in this world is all about. The person has bechira to choose to do what's right or what's wrong. So explains Taisus, what the Gemara means is that these three individuals had tremendous siyata d'shmaya, had tremendous help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they should be able to overcome the Yetzirah to a degree that no one else had. Another pshat that I saw was that most people, even if they're great people and they're able to overcome the enticement of the Yetzer Hara, they do at least have for a moment the urge to do the Aveira, and then they're able to overcome that. These individuals were so great that they never even had the urge to do the Aveira. That's how separated they were from doing Aveiras. The Ksibe, again, how do we know that these people had this power? The Ksibe who Bakob Mikol Kol. Some say Af David. David also was able to overcome completely the Yetzer Hara. The Ksibe, as the Pasuk says, Filibi Cholel Bekirbi. His heart was completely emptied of the Yetzer Hara. Vidach, and the other Tana who doesn't include David HaMelech in the list. Why doesn't he include David HaMelech in the list? Because he says, Tzarei hu d'mitgar. He's just mentioning, David HaMelech is mentioning all the pain that he felt in this world, but it doesn't mean that he said they didn't have Yetzirah. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara, the Braisa, Shisha l'sholot ben Malach HaMavis. There were six individuals who the Malach HaMavis did not have any power over. Ve'elhein, Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, as we said, the Ksibu Bakal Mikal Kol. There was a complete blessing that the Malchamavas could not prevail over them. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, the Ksibu, who it says regarding them, Api Hashem, that they died Mises Neshicha, and as Mefarshim explained, Mises Neshicha means that they came to such a dveikus, they came to such a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they should not have that coming to that Madrega, that's how they ultimately passed away. Moshe v'Aaron Miriam d'ksibu al pi Hashem. Ask the Gemara for Miriam like sibu al pi Hashem. But Miriam the pasuk doesn't use the words al pi Hashem. So how do we say that Miriam died al pi Hashem? Amar b'Lazar Miriam nami b'neshika mesa. Miriam also died this way. The Asya, because we learn Gzer Shava, Sham Sham and Moshe. Just like when Moshe says the word Sham, and we know that Moshe died, as the Pasuk says, Api Hashem, so to Miriam, we learn Gzer Shava, that she too died, Api Hashem, Mises Nishita. So ask the Gemara, Umneima Aloy Nemaba Api Hashem. So if so, why does the Torah not use the words Api Hashem by Miriam? Says the Gemara, Shegnaya Davaloymer, it's an embarrassment to say that Miriam died, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, did a neshika with Miriam. So I saw that the Iyun Yaakov asks a question. He asks that many times in Shas we have Gzeir Shavis. And the Gemara doesn't ask the why is the Pasuk, why is the Torah relying on a Gzeir Shava versus an explicit Pasuk? Why in this situation we have a Gzeirah Shavah to teach us that Miriam died a Pi Hashem? Ask the Gemara, why do we rely on Gzeirah Shavah? Why doesn't the Pasuk say it explicitly? Answers the Iyun Yaakov, that normally, that since Miriam was the first to die, Mises Neshika, it would make sense that the Pasuk should say a Pi Hashem by her, and the other individuals, Moshe and Aaron, should be learned by through Gzeirah Shavah from Miriam. Why do we find the reverse? Is the Gemara's question, says the Iyun Yaakov. That by Miriam we learn Gzeirah Shavah, and by Moshe who died later, does the Pasuk say explicitly Api Hashem? Answers the Gemara, because it's not that proper to use Gnaya Dava Loimer Api Hashem regarding Miriam. The Mefarshim also point out that it was specifically necessary for Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov not to have Yetzer Hara, because as we know, we are all Klal Yisrael, the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and therefore it was necessary to have in our DNA, to have in our genes, forefathers, Shleishot Behen Yetzer Hara, that were able to completely overcome the Yetzer Hara, so that we later generations may not have that strong quality that we are able to completely overcome the Yetzer Hara, but the power to at least sometimes overcome the Yetzer Hara or overcome the Yetzer Hara to some degree is in our ability, because it's already in our DNA from Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. I saw a beautiful pshat when the Gemara says Shishish Shalta ben Malach HaMavis, there were three that didn't die but a Malach HaMavis. So the Mefarshim asks, Rabbi Aaron Levine, the Rai Shirov, asks, but they died anyway. What's the point that the Gemara says that they didn't die through the Malach HaMavis? So he says that Malach HaMavis doesn't specifically mean when they passed away. Shisha Leishalt by Malach HaMavis is while they were alive. Where they were alive, Malach HaMavis, what does death mean? Death means to waste time. Time is the most precious commodity. Shisha, these six individuals, Leishalt by Malach HaMavis, they didn't waste a moment of their life. There was no death to any moment of their life. Every moment of their life was used for constructive purpose. Tanur Rabbanan, continues the Gemara, Shiva, Leishalt by Rima V'Taleya. There were seven individuals that when they passed away, their bodies were not affected by worms. Ve'elahein Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, or Binyamin ben Yaakov. And the Gemara explains, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, because as the Pasuk said, the Pasuk says by them, Bakol, Mikol, Kol. So they certainly were blessed in this way. Moshe, Aaron, the Ksibuhu, Api Hashem. Binyamin ben Yaakov, how do we know that he wasn't affected by Rima Vataleya? The Ksib, Binyamin, Oma, Yidir Hashem, Yishkan, Levetach, Olof. David, that he was Levetach, asked Tosfos that the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that V'rekiv Atzoma is Kina, Mishiesh like Kina Beliboy, somebody who is a person who has envious of others, Atzmois of Nekovim, So why does the Gemara say that it was only these seven people? There were other people also. Anybody who doesn't have kina, answers Tosis, other people may not, their bodies, their bones will not completely decompose, but a worm may affect them somewhat. These seven people were completely not affected. Another pshat that I saw is that actually we find that David, that Binyamin was a person that was jealous. The pasuk says, "Choyfef alav kol hayoyim," melamed that Binyamin, most of the Beis Hamikdash was actually built in the section of Eretz Yisrael that belonged to Shevet Binyamin. However, there was a small strip of land that belonged to Yehuda, on which the Mizbeach was built, and Binyamin was very upset. All day it bothers him that he doesn't have the entire Beis HaMikdash compound on his chelik, in his section. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us. That even though, as Tosfos just quoted, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that if somebody is jealous, he doesn't, his bones will decompose after he leaves the world, teaches us the Gemara that Binyamin, even though we find in him this characteristic of jealousy, but it was a jealousy l'shem shemayim. He was upset that all of the Beis HaMikdash wasn't in his chelik, and therefore he, l'shat ben Rima, he's not considered an envious individual. V'yesh amrim af David, that David also was not subject to decay. T'ksiv af besari yishkan levetach. V'idach and the other Tana, who doesn't include David in the list. Ha'hu rachman dukaboy, David HaMelech asked for it, but it's not necessary that what he asked for was granted. Tana Rabbanan, says the Braisa. Arbu meisu be'itchish onachish. The four people that died because of the slave, because of the snake. As the Meshech Chachma explains, we know that the Nachash, the snake, tried to persuade Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, because the Nachash said to Chava, "V'yoyim ha'Nachash al Isha loy mois tamusin ki yidei alakim ki b'yoyim achalcha mimenu v'yisal ki alakim yidei atay v'ra." The Nachash told Chava that if you'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will be like God. Why will be like God? Because just like God is eternal, he's nitzchius, if you'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, you too will not die. And then people will come to confuse that a person may be like a God. Because just like a God is forever, just like God is forever, so too people are forever. So the Nachash, that was the entire purpose of the Nachash, trying to convince Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, that people should live forever, and then people will be confused with gods. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create a situation that people should die, and nobody should be confused, no human being should chas v'sholem be confused with God. So everybody dies because of the Nachash. So the four people, says the Gemara, that's the only reason they passed away. Ve'elahein, Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, V'yisha Avi David, V'kila ben David. And the Maral makes an interesting observation. All four of these individuals, Binyamin ben Yaakov, had Zchus Avos, he had a great father, Yaakov. Amram had a great son, Moshe. Yishai had a great son, David. Kilav had a great father, David. All of these individuals, as great as they were, that they didn't do any Averis, still, they needed the Zchus Avos or Zchus Bonim to create a situation that they should only die because of the Etyush Shanachis. Nachash, says the Gemara, the Kula Gemara. All of these people we know through a tradition. Levad Miyishai Avi David, the Farish Bekra. Miyishai Bedavid, the Pasuk says that he only died because of the Nachash. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Amso Som Avshalom, Tachs Yoyev Al Tzava. Avshalom replaced Yoiv from being the general with Amsa. V'amasa ben ish shma Yisrael Israeli. Ashabah Avigail bas Nochash achos Tzruya em Yoiv, who had relations with Avigail, who was the daughter of Nochash and was the sister of Tzruya, the mother of Yoiv. So Avigail is described as the daughter of Nochash. So the question is, v'chi bas Nochashi? Was Abigail the daughter of Nochash? V'labas Yishai, she was the daughter of Yishai. The Ksiv, as the pasuk says, regarding to the sons of Yishai, v'chaseyam, and the sisters of the daughters of the sons of Yishai, with Tzruya of Abigail. So Abigail was the daughter of Yishai, not the daughter of Nochash. And to teach us, Alameis be'etchesh al Nochash died because of the Nochash. That's the only reason Yishai died. Darizal quotes his Rebbe in describing people who only died because of Etchesh al Nochash. The pasuk says, "V'chiyi be'ish chet mishpat moves v'humas v'talisa oisaleitz." He says, "V'chiyi be'ish chet mishpat moves." If somebody is put to death v'humas v'chet, but he doesn't have chet mishpat moves, he doesn't have any avera that would cause him to die, so why does he die? The talisa oisal eitz, we say he died because of the avera of the eitz hadas, which was caused by the nachash. And Rabbi Tzadik points out in understanding what etchesh al nachash means, that these people, what's the difference between people who died because of etchesh al nachash versus people who died that the Malach HaMoves did not have any power over them? He says the people who the Malach HaMoves didn't have any power over them are even greater than these four tzaddikim. He says these four tzaddikim, even though they didn't obviously commit any averus, they derive pleasure me'olam hazeh, from this world. And that's why the Gemara means, says Reb Tzadik, meis be'etchesh al nachash, they died as the result of the pleasure they experienced from olam hazeh, because that is like the nachash who represents olam hazeh. Whereas the people that the Gemara identified that the Malach HaMoves had no power over them were individuals who were completely separated from Olam Hazeh and did not have any pleasure at all from this world. That was their Madrega. Hadron Loch HaShutfin, Hadron Loch HaShutfin, Hadron Loch HaShutfin. Our Mishnah now begins, our next parak be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach now begins with speaking about damages that one neighbor could chas v'shalom cause to another neighbor, and what should be done to avoid such damages. There's a machloitis rishonim, the Rambam in Rosh, if these obligations are midaraisa or midrabanan. The Rambam holds that it's midaraisa, these obligations. The Rosh seems to learn it's midrabanan. There's a machloikis how to understand the opinion of the Rosh. Some explain that it's a midrabanan. These various rules that we're going to learn in the Mishnah, the Chazal said one should separate distance from somebody else, are all rules that the Rabbanan enacted. Others explain that since it's all a question of hezek mamon, causing financial damage to someone else, hezek mamon, we always have a rule, sofek mamon, when it comes to such a question, we're meikel. So says the Mishnah, lo yachbar adam bar samach l'bayru shechaveroi, a person shouldn't dig a pit next to his friend's pit, v'loy siach v'loy ma'ara, are different types of pits, different structures. V'loy amas hamayim is an irrigation canal. V'loy nevrechas hakosim is a pool where they used to do their laundry. Elm ken hirchak mikosil chaveroi, unless he's distanced himself from his neighbor's wall, shlosh etfachim, v'sod besid, and also put on a coating of lime. As we were learning the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, there's a question how to understand v'sod besid, Does v'sobesed mean that in addition to distancing oneself, one also has to put on this coating? Or is pshat that this coating can be used in place of distancing? So Tysus explains that all these ditches that our Gemara, that our Mishnah just mentioned, have in them water, and therefore Tysus says there's a combination. The digging itself causes damage, combined with the water that will be in this pit that will cause the damage, and this combination is what the Mishnah says is the reason that you have to distance one from the other. The Ritva and the Rashba seem to learn that it works not as a combination, but rather land that's dug out is a softer, weaker land, and therefore the softer, weaker land is more susceptible to damage, and that's why you have to be marchik three tefachim. An interesting question that the Mefarshim discuss is, let's say I have in my property two pits, and I did not distance one pit from the other the prescribed amount that our Mishnah mentioned, which I really don't have to, because they're all my pits and my property. And now a neighbor of mine wants to make a pit, and he wants to make the pit without distancing his pit from my pit, with the claim of saying that you obviously don't care because you didn't distance your own pits from each other. What is the halacha? So the Mefarshim explained that certainly one cannot make such a claim, because even though I didn't care in my own property, that doesn't change the rule that when you make it, you have to distance it properly. Tysus goes on to explain that, as we said a moment ago, all of the pits that were just mentioned by the Mishnah really are all the same. They're pits with water in them. And the question therefore is, why did the Mishnah have to mention all the very many different cases? So Taisa says, Siach Amar, which we explained, are different types of pits, are mentioned because it's always very common that we find in Mishnayis that the Mishnah mentions Siach and Ma'ara together with Bar. Amas Hamayim and the Vreches HaKaisim were mentioned because each one of them has an interesting, its own characteristic. The Mas Hamayim constantly has water. The Nevrechs HaKaisim is the water, is the place where the people used to do laundry, doesn't constantly have water. However, we need to teach each case, because the water that's in the launderer's pit is water that's stationary, and therefore it causes more damage. The Amas Hamayim is water that flows. It doesn't remain stationary. On the other hand, the Amas Hamayim, the water is always there. The Vrech Sakaisim, the water is only there when you're doing laundry. So the Mishnah had to mention both cases. On the other hand, says Tosfos, we could not learn the din of Bor from Amas Hamayim and the Vrech Sakaisim, because the Bor, Siach and Ma'ara, are dug much deeper than the Amas Hamayim and the Vrech Sakaisim, and therefore we would think, since they're deeper holes, three tefachim is inadequate. So that's what the Mishnah had to say, that both by Bor and Siach and Ma'ara, which are deeper, and the Vrech Sakaisim and Nevrech Zakovsim and Amas Hamayim, which are not deeper but have water constantly, both of them have all of these cases had to be mentioned in the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah, Omachikin es hagefes v'sazevel, one has to distance the leftovers, the waste of after one presses the olives. As zevel is manure, smelach is salt, sid is lime, versus sloim, Tysus explains, means stones, flint stones, from which fire comes out. Tosfos says it's unlikely that it's talking about coins, because people don't leave coins on the ground. There has to be distance, 3 tefachim. Here the Rishonim explain, certainly coating this area will be an adequate alternative to distancing. Machikim, as says Roim vas Machresha, one has to distance seeds or the plow, vas Meruglaim as urine, Minakoisel from a wall, Shlosh Tfachim, 3 tefachim. Again, in all of these cases, because they could cause damage. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that here, coating the wall will not help regarding these items. We have to distance the mill. Our Mishnah explained the Rishonim, the Rosh, is referring to a handmill. And a handmill has a base on the bottom, which is called the Shechev, and then there's the actual mill on top, which is called the Rechev. And the base was wider by a tefach than the mill. And the Mishnah is teaching us that we have to distance from the wall the base 3 tefachim, which will mean that the top, the mill, which is already indented by a tefach, will be a distance of 4 tefachim from the wall. But, explained the Rosh, that if it were a regular mill, which is a permanent mill, it causes much more vibration and damage, and there will be a need to distance it even further. Vesataner, Shloshim and Akalya, Shein Arba and Asofa. Rashi explains that our Mishnah here is speaking about a furnace, and the furnace too was constructed narrow with a wide base, and then narrow on top. That's what Rashi explains. Tosfos seems to explain that the actual oven was built first, it was narrow on the bottom, then it got wider, and then it got narrower on top. And in both, and therefore it has to be 3 tefachim from the bottom and 4 tefachim from the narrower place, which is 3 tefachim from the wider area. Says the Gemara, Pasach b'bar u'masayim b'koisel. Ask the Gemara. Our Tana begins speaking about machikim, that one has to distance. Hirchuk mikoisel chaveroi shloisha tefachim. The Mishnah began about speaking about distancing from a bar, and then turned around and said about distancing from a wall. So we need to understand, what is our Mishnah referring to? Walls or bars or pits? Says the Gemara, Amar Abayi v'tem Rav Yehuda, Mikoisel Bar Shnina. Our Mishnah is speaking strictly about pits. And our Mishnah is saying that one has to distance from the wall of the pit. The one has to distance from the wall of the pit 3 tefachim. Ask the Gemara, if that's all the Mishnah is trying to teach us, listening, so the Mishnah should have said, Elm ken hichrik mibayu shal chaveroi gimel tefachim. He has to distance himself 3 tefachim from his neighbor's pit. Why does the Mishnah have to use the word bar again? Answers the Gemara. In other words, the Mishnah should have used the word par again. Why does Mishnah change to the word kaisel? Answers the Gemara. Hakamashman, the kaisel bar shlosh tefachim. The Mishnah is trying to teach us a halacha that what is the width of a bar's wall? 3 tefachim. Nafkamina, why do we need to know how much is the typical width of the wall of a bar? Regarding Mekach HaMemkar, that if somebody buys a bar from somebody else, Kretanya, Haim L'chaveroi bar v'kashla nimaychalach, I'm selling you a pit and its walls. The walls, the pit that he has to deliver, has to be a pit. Tzach she koisul shlosh tefachim, it has to be a pit. It has to be a pit that will have a wall of 3 tefachim. Because that is the thickness of a regular wall of a pit. Unless it was obviously identified that I'm selling you this specific pit. And then even if that pit doesn't have such a thick wall, since they were speaking about a specific pit, then it doesn't make a difference. Itma, says the Gemara, Habo lismoich b'tzad ha-meitzer. If somebody wants to put a pit next to the boundary between his property and his neighbor's property, and his neighbor does not have a pit on his property at this point, Abaye Omer, Abaye says, Soimich, he may. For Rava Omer, Rava says, Eina Soimich, he may not. Says Tosfos, now we could understand why the Mishnah had to, according to Rava at least, why the Mishnah had to teach us this halacha of when the Mishnah says, Elam Kain, Hirchuk Mikoisul Chaveri Shlosh Tvachim. What the Mishnah is trying to teach us, according to Rava, is that even if my neighbor does not yet have a bar, I already have the obligation of distancing from it as if it had a bar. Furthermore, there's an interesting machloikis rishonim. According to Abaye, I don't have to distance if I'm digging a pit in my property and my neighbor does not have a pit in his property, I have no obligation to distance. As discusses Tosfos, and what will be the halacha if my neighbor then goes and makes a pit? How many tfachim will he have to distance that pit from my pit? Tosfos says, since, as we're learning in the Mishnah, there's an obligation to distance 6 tfachim, so when he makes his pit, he will have to distance the full 6 tfachim. The Yad Ramah disagrees and says, since our Mishnah says you only have to distance 3 tfachim, so when, if I made a pit, and yes, according to Abaye, I didn't have to do any distancing because there was no other pit yet, when my neighbor will dig his pit, he doesn't have to distance more than 3 tfachim. And now the Gemara comes to define the scope of the machloikis of Abaye v'Rava. Says the Gemara, but Sada hasuya labiris, if my neighbor's field is a property where pits are typically dug, divrei hakol ein samech. Everybody agrees that I can't build a, make a pit without distancing. And the explanation is, two explanations. One is that the halacha views as if, since my neighbor's property is a property where pits will be built, so will be normally dug, so the halacha already views it as if there is a pit there. That's one explanation. Another explanation, according to the opinion of Tosfos that we just quoted, is that since if there's going to be, if my neighbor is going to make a pit, he will have the obligation of distancing 6 tfachim. So the Gemara is teaching us, says, according to this pshat, that it's very likely that he's going to have to do that. Since it's so likely that he's going to have to do it, the halacha already says to me, don't build it because it'll be unfair. Don't dig your pit this way because it'll be unfair that your neighbor should have to distance the entire 6 tfachim. So therefore, says the Gemara, besada asui labiris, if it's a place where pits are normally dug, divrei hakol ein samech, everybody will agree that we have to distance. Keep pligi, the machloikis is strictly besadish ein asui labiris, a property where pits are normally not dug. Abaye ein samech, Abaye says, I could dig my pit here, do ein asui labiris, since this is an area where biris are not normally pit, dog, so we don't have to be concerned that maybe my neighbor will ultimately dig a pit here. Rava, because he, my neighbor can say to him, just like you dug a pit in an area where normally pits are not dug, similarly, I will also be digging a pit here, and therefore you have to anticipate that, and since you have to anticipate that, you have to already distance the pit that you are digging. Ikadamri, but there's a different version of how to learn the machloikis of Abaye v'Rava. Besada shalena sui labiris. If it's a place where pits are normally not dug, divrehakol samach, everybody will agree that the first person could dig his pit. Ki pligi, their entire machlokes is strictly besada sui labiris, in a field where pits are normally dug. Now we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn later in our perek a machlokes between Rechachamim and Reb Yossi. It refers to a situation that halacha is that a tree has to be distanced 25 amos from a pit, because otherwise the roots of the tree may damage the pit. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. Reb Yossi says that somebody could plant a pit anywhere in his property, even though it may eventually damage his neighbor's pit. Says the Gemara, Abaye's Omer Soimach, Abaye says that I could dig my pit in my property. I feel, and says the Gemara, Abaye's opinion can be explained even according to Rabbanan. I feel the Rabbanan, even according to the opinion of the Rabbanan that we just quoted, the Amri, that they hold, that we have to keep the tree away from the bar, 25 Amma, because it may ultimately cause damage. So why don't we say the same over here, that I shouldn't be allowed to dig my pit because it may eventually damage my neighbor's pit? And again, we're referring, according to this version, besada hasuyi labiris, where it's likely there's going to be a pit. Answers the Gemara, Abaye is saying his opinion even according to the Rabbanan, because hasam who be itin the kanata, at the moment that I'm planting my tree, is labor, the other pit already exists, and therefore my tree is considered a passable mazik. Avahocha, in the case that Abaye and Rava are referring to, bidden the kachafer, when he's digging his pit, leis labor, my neighbor does not yet have a pit, and therefore here the Rabbanan says Abaye will agree that you can dig your pit even though your neighbor may ultimately make a pit. V'Rav Amar, Rav says, Ein Asoimach, we don't make a pit even next to somebody else's property. But Fila Rav Yossi the Omer, even according to Rav Yossi's opinion that says, Zechayv B'Toich Shaloi, V'Zen Atei B'Toich Shaloi, Rav Yossi says, I could make a tree in my property, and my neighbor will make a pit in his property, and I who plant the tree do not have to be concerned about my neighbor's pit. Hanimili Hasam, that's strictly over there, the Be'idna de Kaneta, because according to Rabbi Yossi, at the moment that I'm planting my tree, less than Lishroshov, the Maskelu Labar, the roots that will spread and damage my neighbor's pit do not yet exist. Aval Hocha, in our case, Amalei, my neighbor can say to me, Kamar v'mar de kamachis, every strike, every dig that you make in your bar, kamapis la'ari, you're weakening my land, and therefore you may not make the pit at any point. Ask the Rishonim. Rav's opinion seems to be difficult to explain according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, no matter what version we use in explaining the machloikis of Abaye v'Rava. So ask the Rishonim, why did the Gemara only feel the need to reconcile Rava's opinion with Rabbi Yossi only according to the second version, not according to the first version of the machloikis? Because in the first version also Rava says you can't dig a pit, and according to Rabbi Yossi, why not? So one answer the Rishonim give is that the Gemara was really only concerned with the opinion of the Chachamim, which is only a problem according to the second version. Because according to the first version, where Abaye is speaking about besada she'en asui labiris, so we could understand why it's not difficult with the Rabbanan. It's only according to the second version, where Abaye is saying that even besada hasuya labiris, I could dig a pit without worrying about my neighbor. And that, the Gemara just asked a moment ago, seems to be difficult to reconcile with the opinion of the Chachamim. So it's only in this version we were trying to reconcile Abaye's opinion with the Chachamim, and once the Gemara discusses how we'll reconcile Abaye with the Chachamim, the Gemara now goes on to explain how we'll reconcile Rava with Reb Yossi. Another explanation that the Rishonim give: the Gemara does not attempt to reconcile the first version of Rava with Abaye because it's actually impossible to do so, because there is no way of explaining how Rava, according to the first version, where Rava is saying his din by all properties, how will he reconcile his first version, where Rava's restriction applies even to land where it's not the practice to dig pits? So how could Rava, and Rava still says you have to distance, how could, there's no way to reconcile that with Reb Yossi's opinion. Tanan says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Layachba Adam Par, Samach Labarish Achaveri. I'm not allowed to dig a pit next to the pit of his chav, of my friend. Tama, so it seems that the reason I'm not allowed to dig this pit is the Ikabar, because there's already a bar on my neighbor's side of the boundary. Halekabar, if there were no pit yet there, Saimach, I would be allowed to dig. So Gemara explains itself. Bishlam lach lishna da amrit. Now, according to the version, the second version of the machloit between Abaye and Rava, which said, besadish en esui labayris, if it's a field where people do not normally dig pits, there, devar hakol samach, everybody says distancing is not required. So we could explain that masnisim besadish en esui labayris, Amish is referring to a flan where normally pits are not dug, and therefore even Rava agrees that one could dig a pit next to the boundary. El hachlishna da amrit. But according to the first version of the machloikis, that the sadash and the soil abaris pligi, they're arguing even in a field where pits are not normally dug. Bishlam la baya nicha. We could, on our Mishnah will work well according to Baya, who says you could dig a pit under such circumstances, and therefore our Mishnah is talking about such a property where pits are not normally dug. El Rava, according to Rava, who says you're always not allowed to dig a pit, how could the pit been dug kosher? How do we understand the Mishnah? Amlach Rava, Amma Abaye v'tem Rav Yehuda mikaisel barishanina. Our Mishnah doesn't mean from the neighbor's wall, it means from the wall of the pit. The Mishnah actually is reflecting Rava's view, because our Mishnah, by using the word wall, says that the neighbor who dug a pit was supposed to leave an area of three tefachim, which is the width of the wall of a pit, to distance himself indeed from my property, even if my property is a property where pits are not normally dug. Ikadamri Vitma Allah Omar Bai Vitem Rav Yehuda Mekoisel Bai Rishnina. Our Mishnah, as we said earlier in the Shir, is teaching us that the wall of the pit has to be three tefachim. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Lach Lishna the Amrit, according to the version, the first version, that said, Besuda Hasui Labiris, that if it's a property where pits are normally dug, Divrei Hakol Ein Soimach, everybody agrees that you have to distance, then Masnisen, Besuda Hasui Labiris, our Mishnah is referring to such a property, and therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us that even the first person who dug a wall had to leave a wall of three tefachim wide, separating himself from my property. El hachlishna da amrit. Besada suy labaris pligi. They're arguing even in a property that pits a dog. And according to Abaye, the halacha is, then you don't have to distance. But according to Rava, you do have to distance. So Bishlam l'Rava Nicha, our Mishnah is understandable according to Rava, because our Mishnah is saying that one can't dig a pit in such a situation. El Abaye, even though my property is a property where I'm going to dig a pit, Abaye says, if I don't yet have a pit, You, the other neighbor, don't have the distance. So why did Abaye say in our Mishnah that the first person who dug a pit had to distance it by 3 tefachim? Amalek Abaye answers Abaye, Mishnisim will have to explain, is referring to a situation, Shabal Lachba Basachas. Both of us, both neighbors dug at the exact same time their pits, and since they both dug it at the same time, they both have the obligation of distancing to each one the 3 tefachim. Toshma. The Mishnah, the Brisa says, Sel Hababa Dayim, in a field where the soil is so soft that it could fall away just by moving it with your hands. Daloch is Zechoy for Bayer Mekan, for Zechoy for Bayer Mekan. Each one of us has to dig on our side, in each side of the path, on our property. However, Zer Machach Shlosh Tfachim Sabasid, I have to separate 3 Tfachim and put on a coating of lime. For Zer Machach Shlosh Tfachim Sabasid. So we see that both the first neighbor and the second neighbor are required to make the distance. Abaye says that the first one to dig a pit doesn't have to make any distancing. And says the Gemara, here we're dealing with Bob Yadayim. It's different type of soil. On a soft soil, Bob Yadayim Shani, Abaye will agree that even the first person that digs has to put away the proper distance. Ask the Gemara, the Karolei my Karolei. What was the Gemara's question in the first place? What was the Havamina? Obviously, soft soil is dealt with differently than hard soil. Answers the Gemara, the Chiddush here is, Babi Yadayim Etzuchlei. Salkadat Chamina. We would think, Kivin the Babi Yadayim, since we're dealing with soft soil, Leboi Nami Rafka Tfei, we should need more than 3 Tfachim, Kamash Malon. That's why it teaches us that no, even by soft soil, 3 tefachim is adequate. But here, Abaye will agree that since it's soft soil, even the first one to dig the pit has to distance it by 3 tefachim.